Before we begin with lecture this morning, I did want to announce to those of you who have not seen it yet, the class website has been updated. Because it was late in getting updated, as a compromise, the quiz that will be released right after lecture is going to have a 48-hour time limit to it versus the 24-hour limit that I normally put. That's, again, to compensate for the fact that the website was updated rather late. And I don't know how to say it, but I'll just try to say it carefully. There is a little bit more going on in the news than maybe most of us are used to. And I myself find it odd to be both under a shelter in place and a curfew. So that's also part of my thinking for extending the deadline to 48 hours. I will tell you right now, the method of initial rates is not on the quiz. Because no, we never did complete that problem in lecture. And although we did cover it enough that you should be able to do the problem, the quiz did end up being long if I tried to put everything in it. And so that was one of the topics I cut. So just to let everybody relax there. And because of that, that means that today really I'm going to focus on new material, unless you all have questions that are of review nature related to the quiz today. So, does anyone have any quiz content-related questions? So I don't see any quiz-related questions. I see a couple things coming up in the chat. I'll get those later once I'm done. But let's go ahead and dive into lecture material then. So obviously the chapter that we're doing right now is about acids and bases. And we've already several times talked about an acid dissociation problem. And we've touched on base dissociation. So I know that at least twice now, in different ways, I've talked about defining a base dissociation constant. What I want to do is give you a target for the things that you're learning right now. You might be lost in what's all this math for, or what are the practical applications. So here are the four types of acid-base problems that you might get. One is the type that you've already gotten. The pH of a solution of a weak acid. The thing we haven't finished, the thing we're working on, is the pH of a solution of a weak base. But you notice the way I wrote this, I didn't just say pH, I said pH/pOH. The P function, or whatever you want to call that, shows up in many places. It can be used in other places besides just pH and pOH. Later on, you'll become familiar with the pKa, which is the negative base 10 log of the Ka. Just like pH is the negative base 10 log of the H plus concentration, and therefore pOH is the negative base 10 log of the OH minus concentration. But in other words, we need to determine the concentration of, or the pH of a solution of a weak base. Now, here's where it gets fun. The pH of a solution of a conjugate of a weak base. And then the pH or pOH of a solution of a conjugate of a weak acid. So, I know that we've already done the problem number one a few times. I figure it doesn't hurt to briefly go over it one more time. Nobody will likely be physically injured in the process. Oops. So, type one problem. pH of a solution of a weak acid. Oh, great internet, show me some Ka values for weak acids. Okay, that didn't turn out to be as instantly easy as I thought. Okay. Oh, great internet. Try again. How about the Ka of weak acids? There we go. Still want to teach something that's not too difficult. So how about... I can't remember if we did bleach or not, but we're going to do it because it's a good example, because it's bleach. So the thing that gets people in trouble in any of these acid-base equilibrium-type problems is not knowing the equation that should go along with it, and therefore not knowing the correct K to use with it. So if it says the solution of a weak acid... Then let me give myself some room here, but then what that instantly means is it's talking about the dissociation of the acid. And so that's what leads us to this acid dissociation equation, and that's what leads us to the Ka expression, H plus times hypochlorite over bleach. Which, if you look it up, it has a value of 3.5 times 10 to negative 8. So how do you solve the problem? You take the things that are in the appropriate equation, the reactants, and the products, we do their initial change in equilibrium or N values. Let's say that the solution is 0.1 molar. So then we'll have 0.1, 0, and 0. Remember, already discussed a couple of times now, the fact that there's not much H plus in solution in any well-behaved problem, we can ignore it. Then hypochlorite, if it hasn't dissociated yet, there can't be any. Since that means Q is automatically zero, that's how we keep getting negative X plus X plus X. And then we're going to end up with these final values of 0.1 minus X, X, and X. So... take your screenshots because I'm running out of room. But now we'll just quickly finish off this problem.
Description. Ka is the one that the value that you get internet, right? You get on the internet.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
Now, there's always the possibility you could get the problem the other direction around. And maybe we'll work one of those on Wednesday. That... you're told that a certain concentration solution has a certain pH, calculate the Ka. Well, if you're given the pH, that means you can come up with what X is. And so it's a very easy problem to solve. So I'll get around to doing that one. I'm trying to tackle the ones that are really the important ones for next quarter. And as we keep going, they get slightly more difficult. So let's move on and finish this problem, because if we substitute back in, we're going to get that Ka is equal to x squared over 0.1 minus x, and that's equal to 3.5 times 10 to the negative 8. Now, there's a more precise way to do this, which we'll talk about next time, once you're done with the quiz and you care about acids and bases. But you might remember, based on our past discussion, if x is really, really small, then 0.1 minus x is about the same thing as 0.1. So we make an approximation. So Ka is equal to x squared over 0.1, which is equal to 3.5 times 10 negative 8, which means x squared is equal to 3.5 times 10 to the negative 9th, which means x, which is only going to be a positive number, is equal to 5.91 times 10 to the negative 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Which is equal to the H plus concentration, because that's how we set up our ice table. Now the questions come in, how is it known when X is small enough to be considered zero? So there's what's called the 5% rule, and then there's what's also called the, what is it called, the 400 rule. I'll get into those on Wednesday. So there is a way to more quantitatively do it. The other way to do it is to just do it. And if your value comes out, okay, so that's the 5% method, essentially. Or that's one of the methods. Do the problem with the simplification. Come up with the value of x. If x is less than 5% of the thing that it gets subtracted from, then you know it is a reasonable approximation. And something times 10 negative 5 is certainly tiny times something that's 10 to the negative 1. So it was a reasonable assumption to do it in this case. Now, again, if we look at back at the ice table, then right here we see that the value of x is the H plus concentration, which is the whole point of the problem. It's asking for pH. So the pH is equal to the negative base 10 log of H plus concentration, which is equal to the negative base 10 log of 5.91 times 10 negative 5, which is equal to 4.23. End the problem. Questions?
Yes. For the when we're doing the Ka equation, which is K equals x squared over 0.1 minus x, x in that formula, does that still mean the concentration of H plus?
Yep.
Okay. So then,
because that's how you set up your ice table there.
Okay. So then, when we say that x equals zero, why wouldn't we get rid of the x squared on top?
Because you're not just getting rid of x because it's small, you're getting rid of x because compared to 0.1, it is small.
Okay.
In other words, we're using a justification to get rid of it when it's being added or subtracted to something. Multiplication is a different story.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so now let's do the next type of problem, which is the pH or pOH of a solution of a weak base. All right. So the pOH of a solution of a weak base. And let me give you an organic example. This is the compound methylamine. Methyl meaning a single carbon. And an amine is a functional group, the one I just circled here. A nitrogen that is singly bonded to a carbon and otherwise might have some other carbons or hydrogens on it. Most important thing is it's got single bonded nitrogen. So methylamine, if I look it up, oh, great internet, methylamine. It gives me information about the base, but in a format that you're not familiar with yet. And I want to explain that by, off to the side here, defining some things. Right? So we already know that the pH is a function that is the negative base 10 log defined as, try that again. pH is defined as the negative base 10 log of the H plus concentration. But because we know that there's OH minus in water automatically, there is an equivalent or similar function, pOH, which is the negative base 10 log of hydroxide concentration. And further, you can have pKa, which is the negative base 10 log of the Ka, and you can have pKb, which is the negative base 10 log of Kb. So knowing all that, I can go back and tell you that methylamine has a pKb equal to 3. What's the exact number? 3.36. So suppose the question is this. What is the pH of 0.1 molar methylamine solution? Well, the most important thing is what is the problem being worked? So is this methylamine a Brunsted-Lowry or an Arrhenius acid base? Or is it both? I'm being given some commentary in the background. Apparently Walter White used it. But as I always say, he was just a hack. PhD from Berkeley. I guess nobody cares because everybody's just reviewing for the quiz in the background. Well, here's the easy way to answer it. Do you see any hydroxide in that formula? No. So it is not an Arrhenius base because Arrhenius bases have to dissociate in order to produce hydroxide. No hydroxide, no Arrhenius base. But it will react with an H+. That's why this is a biologically active functional group. For those of you who don't get the references, methylamine is, that term meth shows up in a show, Breaking Bad, where the person looks something like me, you know, shaved head, chemistry instructor of some sorts, ends up making the stuff illegally, all kinds of action happens. Haven't ever taken the time to watch the whole series myself. Too many other things I'm trying to get done. So, but amines feature prominently in that chemistry. Of course, they're not the only substances that have amines, like amino acids, which are super important substances. Or, well, I can get going on brain chemistry and all that, but I'm going to get too sidetracked. Let's answer the problem here. The main point I was trying to get to eventually is that this thing's going to react with H+. But it's not really H+ that it reacts with, is it? No iPad screen, sorry. Because this problem's about putting a base into water. And yes, there's technically H+ there, but the H+ that's around is coming from water itself. This is why this H3O+ exists, because it's a bookkeeping thing that involves water. In this case, we would just start with neutral water. So what the products are going to be are a cation and then hydroxide. So remember that pure water isn't included in equilibrium expressions. So we could write a KB for this, which is equal to CH3NH3+ times OH- over CH3NH2. Now remember, this is the same format as HB+ times OH- over B, where B is neutral. So you've seen this form of equation before, but now we're finally getting around to numerical problem. So screenshots, and we'll move to the next page. So I gave you a PKB. And let me redefine that again. PKB is defined as the negative base 10 log of the OH minus... No, distracted. KB. But that means we could turn this equation around to say that KB is equal to 10 to the negative PKB. This is a relationship of logs, so if you're a little bit weak on logs, you might not follow how I jumped there. But these two are the inverses of each other, you could say, in a sense. So the point of it is this. I gave you a PKB value of 3.36. So 10 to the negative 3.36 is... 4.37 times 10 to the negative 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, so, and just one more time to write it in, that's equal to the cation concentration times OH minus concentration over the original base concentration. So what's reacting? One more time, let me write that stoichiometric equation out. CH3NH2 plus water is going to make the cation and hydroxide. So it's a 1-to-1-to-1-to-1 correspondence. Water does not get included. So when we make our ice table, we're going to have our starting material, which I had said nothing. Let's assume, oh yes, 0.1 molar. I did say that. So 0.1 molar here, 0 and 0. For the similar reason we can ignore H+, we can usually ignore OH-. And the question might be, how do I know when to ignore it? So very, very roughly speaking, suppose that you had a Ka that was 10 to the negative 10. If you take the square root of that, that is 10 to the negative 5, which would be 100 times more concentrated than what would you have with just plain water. So in other words, when you start getting Ka's that are around 10 to the negative 10 or smaller, water might compete with those acids to be the source of H+ in solution. I'm not going to give you that kind of problem. You're not chem majors, and even if you were, well, then you're chem majors, you'd be taking the chem major version of this course someday. Or you'd take P-Chem, and then you'd get every single detail you'd ever want. So, wrapping up the story, 0 and 0 for those products. Now, since those are products and they're zero, automatically Q equals zero, so the reaction goes forward. Again, same negative X plus X and plus X as before. You might say, Dr. Gray, how is this different from an acid-base problem? It's different because of the things participating, and as you're going to see, the answer comes out a little differently. But the math is the same, because we're going to get P or KB is equal to X squared over 0.1 minus X is equal to 4.37 times 10 negative 4. And let's just assume X is small. And let's just see what we get. We're going to get X squared over 0.1 is equal to 4.37 times 10 negative 4th, which means that X squared is going to equal 4.37 times 10 negative 5, which means X is going to be equal to what? 4.37 times 10 negative 5. Wait, 4.37 times 10 to the negative 5. Square root is equal to, is equal to, your instructor can't handle a calculator. Try that again. 4.37 times 10 negative 5 square root is equal to 6.61 times 10 negative 3. 6.61 times 10 negative 3, which is small-ish. Compared to 0.1. I say smallish because, okay, so there's this 5% thing I referred to earlier. 5% of 0.1 would be 5 times 10 negative 3. This is a little bit more. So, should use quadratic. But to take less time on this problem, I'm not going to use the quadratic. And yes, I'll come back to it and I'll explain the 5% thing. And we want to get through some of these types of problems to get at the chemistry, and then we can deal with the math. So if this is X in our ice table, what is this equal to? And where'd my chat window go? Ah.
That is the ratio of concentrations of KB at a point in time, or at equilibrium.
Well, if we look at our ice table, right up above there, see, the thing is, someone put it in the chat window and it's correct. The thing is, if you're not thinking, people say, oh, it's H+, because they think it was just like the acid example. We're in base. The product is an OH minus. So that means that this X value is equal to the concentration of hydroxide. But the question originally asked for pH. So now we got to do a little math. So last week, I developed this expression relating KW to the KA and KB. But even before that, you might remember that we had seen that what a KW is, period. It's the autoionization constant for water, so it's H plus times OH minus. Now, what if I took the negative base 10 log of both sides of the equation? Then I get this. I get negative base 10 log of KW is equal to negative base 10 log of H plus Sorry, one moment. H plus concentration times OH minus concentration. So the first part of this is PKW, which is equal to what? Negative of two things added together. Or no, let me do it this way. I'll distribute the negative. I'll say, or here's what I'm actually trying to get to. Inside that log, you have log of H plus times OH minus. Well, that can be written as the log of base 10, H plus log base 10 of OH minus. Which that is going to be PKW is equal to negative base 10 and log of H plus minus base 10 log of OH minus, which is equal to pH plus POH. The equation up top, KW is equal to H plus times OH. That is a non-log formula, a formula without logs in it. The formula on the bottom is the version with logs. You're going to get the same answer whichever way you want to handle things. Here's the point I'm making. If we assume that everything's happening at 25 degrees, KW has the value of 1.0 times 10 to the negative 14. So at 25 degrees Celsius, H plus concentration is equal to 1.0 times 10 to the negative 14 divided by the hydroxide concentration. Or if you do everything in terms of logs, you get the pH is equal to 14 minus POH. Doesn't matter which way you do it. I tend to like the second way. Just because once you've already taken the log, well, then it's easy to get your final answer. So on the previous page, we got that the OH minus concentration was 6.61 times 10 to negative 3. So the POH is the negative base 10 log of 6.61 times 10 to negative 3, which is equal to 2.18. So that means the pH is equal to 14 minus 2.18, which is equal to 11.72. And we made it through our second problem.
So the value of the PKW is 14, right?
Yep. So pH plus POH is equal to PKW is equal to 14. Okay. Now, let's see our third problem. That was pH of a solution of a conjugate of a weak base. So here's what a problem might look like. Given a 0.1 molar aqueous solution of ammonium nitrate, calculate the pH of a 0.1 molar solution. Oh, sorry. Already wrote that. Calculate the pH of the solution. And what if you're told that the KB of ammonia is equal to 1.76 times 10 to the negative 5? What the heck is going on here? Okay? This is a much more complicated problem. And we may not have the time to get through all the math of it today. But hopefully I'm going to get through the concept. Here is the point. Ammonium is the conjugate base. No, conjugate acid. Of NH3. Why should we care? Well, why is NH3 given in this problem? Because NH3, it's given as a KB. That's a base constant. You're talking about ammonium nitrate, which is going to turn out is an acid. But why is it an acid? Because it's the conjugate of a weak base. If ammonium is the conjugate acid of ammonia, and since ammonia is a weak base, therefore, the ammonium ion is acidic. Now, there's one small detail that you got to know about this reaction, that the nitrate is not going to do anything. Nitrate can be ignored because it is a spectator. Of course, someone might insist and say, well, why is it a spectator? Why is ammonium not a spectator? Okay. Nitrate is the conjugate base of a really strong acid, nitric acid. Nitric acid in water pretty much 100% dissociates. Means it completely splits apart. Does not want to exist as nitric acid. So if you have nitrate, the product that's left over, even if you put it in water, it doesn't react with water effectively because it doesn't want to make nitric acid. But this is not that case. Ammonia, the base, can produce ammonium, the cation, which is an acid because ammonia was a base. So nitrate is ignored, but we have to take care of the ammonium now. The whole point of that discussion was to say, what is the equation used to solve this ice problem? It's the dissociation of ammonium. And so we need a Ka value. But we have a Kb value. Well, again, math happens. If you're talking about conjugates, like we have NH3, which is a base, NH4+, which is an acid. If you want to talk about how their strengths relate to each other, last time I proved, they're inversely related. The stronger an acid is, the less the base that results wants to go back and be that acid. There's a log expression that works out just like the pH expression. where PKW is equal to PKA plus PKB. Again, only if these are referring to conjugates. So what's the point here? Well, erasing that question mark, Ka is going to equal 1.0 times 10 to the negative 14 divided by Kb, which is going to be equal to 1.0 times 10 to the negative 4th divided by 1.76 times 10 to the negative 5, which is equal to 6.3. What is that? I forget the number now. I used to know. -5.71 × 10⁻⁹. No, 10. 5.71 × 10⁻¹. So that's our Ka value, which, let me just check something. Yes, that's right. That's our Ka value for ammonium. So if we had a 0.1 molar solution of ammonium nitrate, that's going to make a 0.1 molar solution of ammonium itself. So now this turns into a regular old Ka problem, where ammonium is the reactant, H plus and ammonia are the products. We can fill out and solve the ice table. Which, no need to do in this case, because we've already gone over that form of math.